You know, life is full of distractions. I mean, if you ever do a search on YouTube, you can find all kinds of videos that show people who are distracted. And usually the outcome is not too good. I looked up a few. One, a lady was at a basketball game sitting down close to the floor, and she was sitting there and she was just yakking away to the person she was with. And all of a sudden, basketball player went up and he slammed the ball. Next thing you know, wham, right to the side of her head. She didn't even see it coming. She was too busy talking to her friend rather than watching the basketball game, and it got her good. There was another one which I've seen recently, and I kind of enjoyed it. I thought it was hilarious. The Jumbotron that they have. Some of the venues have the kissing Jumbotron where they focus in on you and a couple, and you're supposed to kiss. And so they focus on a couple, and they kiss. They focus on another couple, and they kiss. Well, they focus on this other couple, and the guy is like on his phone, just going to town. And his wife or girlfriend, whichever, looks over at him. You know, we got a kiss. He's like, leave me alone. I'm talking on the phone. He has no clue that he's on the big screen. So they go off of it, and they go on to some other couples. And the other couples, they give a quick kiss, and they come back to the guy. And his girlfriend's like, we're there again. And he's like, I'm on the phone. And he gets more animated. She gets more animated. So they go on to a couple more couples. Kissing, and they come back to him again and again. She's like now pulling on him. You know, you're embarrassing me. We're supposed to kiss. You're ignoring me. And he's like, puts the phone down, like gets in her face, and turns back to talk to whoever he's talking to. Well, about that time, the mascot comes down the stairs, grabs his wife, scoops her up, and walks off with her, turns around on top of the stairs and goes, yeah, and leaves. And about that time, the guy looked up and seen himself on the Jumbotron. So needless to say, he was a little embarrassed, but he was distracted, wasn't paying any attention to what was going on around him. There are many videos on drivers who are distracted and what results with that. I mean, you can find all kinds of them, the crashes to almost crashing or almost killing somebody. There's just all kinds of them. But it's not just drivers, but people are also distracted by texting. Now, we've all heard you shouldn't text while you drive because it's very dangerous, because it takes your mind off driving. But yet, you can argue with me if you want to, young people, but I know exactly what you're thinking. I can text and drive and do Facebook all at the same time. You can't. It's dangerous. You've gotten away with it so far. You don't need to be doing it because it is dangerous. But this case, it was people who were just out and about texting while they walked, which is dangerous because you're distracted. And there was many videos of people walking into poles or stepping off and almost getting run over because they didn't realize they were at the curb and they stepped right out into traffic. My favorite is a lady who's walking through the mall, texting away, walks right into a water fountain and keeps going halfway across before she realizes she's standing in a water fountain. So all kinds of things can happen when you're distracted. Some of them, as I said, are not good. There was one that I seen that was terrifying. It was a young boy who was on a train platform, and he was playing a video game. And he walked right off the train platform with a train coming in. Thankfully, there was a man who happened to see it happen and grabbed him by the belt and pulled him back on the platform just as the train went by. Had that man been distracted, that young boy would be dead because there was no way he was getting off the track in time. But he was distracted by playing his game. You know, texters are 4 times less likely to look both ways before crossing, obeying traffic lights, or crossing at the appropriate place. And they spend an average of almost 2 additional seconds in the intersection. Last year, more than 1,100 people wound up in ERs around the nation because they were using a mobile device while walking. But experts think that figure is too low because it relies on people self-reporting. Not too many people are going to admit what they were doing when they do something stupid like that. So the number would be much higher. So we are an easily distracted people. Well, Satan is a good enemy because he knows what our weaknesses are. And Satan will love or loves to try and distract us from what we should be focused on. Distraction is a weapon that Satan uses, because he uses it to keep us busy, and we don't even realize it. We get busy and get distracted from what we should be paying attention to, And we don't even know we're being distracted. Matter of fact, we would probably, somebody said, well, you're not really paying. Oh, yes, I am. No, I'm not distracted. But the truth of it is, we really become distracted. And Satan uses that. And Satan uses it for the same reason that all the videos are out there. Because when we're distracted, we're not paying attention to where we're going. And the path is narrow. And when you're distracted, it's very easy to walk off the path and away, which is what Satan wants us to do, which is why he distracts us. And he distracts us, and he even goes so far as kind of what David was talking about, that we actually will justify to ourselves that we're not distracted. Because what I'm doing is a good thing. This is something I should be doing. This is something God wants me to do. This is a holy thing. And we can convince ourselves of that when really, truly, we know it's not. But because I want to say it is a good thing, it eases my conscience. So I can continue doing what it is I want to do rather than doing what I need to do and admitting to myself that I'm distracted. I want to deny it. In my own mind, I would never, I'm not distracted. I know exactly what I'm focused on. That is the way Satan works. There's some things recently that have happened. Some of you may have noticed some of these things. Some of you may have even noticed what I noticed. You know, we had a Supreme Court ruling that said gay marriage is now legal. Did you happen to notice that as that story was breaking, that the news coverage switched to different stories? One of the stories that and still in my area anyway, it still takes over the headlines, was the Charleston shootings. And that was used to, we need to remove the rebel flag. And so everybody become, oh no, you're not taking my flag. And people are sticking it on their trucks and driving up and down the road with the rebel flag flying behind them. The sales of rebel flags went through the roof because people were like, we're going to get them before they ban them. Well, South Carolina took the rebel flag down. That was all the news headlines. Guess what people were focused on? The rebel flag. Once the Supreme Court made their ruling, there was some talk at the beginning about how horrible it was, but then that died out because everybody was focused on the rebel flag. I'm going to offend some of you. It's a flag. I don't care. That was not what was important. What was important was what the Supreme Court ruled and said this country will now accept. That was what was important. But you see, Satan distracted because the liberal media, that's what they want to do. They don't want you focused on the true story you should be focused on and be outraged about. They place another story there and they cover that, and we fall for it. How many people who would have been saying, no, homosexuality is wrong, dropped all that to grab the rebel flag and run down the road with it? We were distracted. I don't know if some of you have seen the Planned Parenthood videos. They're atrocities. Abortion is an atrocity before this even came out. But now the Planned Parenthood videos are showing exactly what's going on. But what happened? Immediately, that poor line. That Dennis went over there and shot that poor line. How dare he shoot that line? And then you start seeing all these news stories about animals being poached and animals being killed. You don't see the news stories about the videos. Again, and what did people start talking about? A line being killed. Where is the importance? Even now, more videos have come out of Planned Parenthood, all showing worse and worse things caught on tape. Of course, one side is making accusations that it's edited video and it's not true. I can't say I wasn't there. Regardless of what I've seen, I don't know how you could spin it any other way. Even if it was edited, what's being said at that moment is not good. The video that's shown is not pleasant. Babies being treated like commodities. I don't care. You can't take that out of context. You're harvesting from a child. But what have we heard? Nothing. Not on that. What are we watching? Donald Trump. And all about Hillary. We're hearing all about the political campaigns. And when's the election? over a year from now. But the news is consumed with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and Ben Carson and Bernie Sanders. And that's all we're hearing. You're not hearing a whole lot about the Planned Parenthood videos. What's more important, politicians or children being murdered? It's a distraction. Don't want you talking about Planned Parenthood. Don't want you talking about abortions. Let's talk about this. Satan uses the same thing to distract us. Paul and Silas were in the area of Philippi, and initially things seemed to be going really well for them. But then one day, everything changed. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So obviously, Paul here knows who this lady is. He's obviously got wind of her. He has an idea. She shows up. He sees her, recognizes her. He ignores her. On their way to prayers, this lady, like I said, who was known for her psychic abilities, approached them. And so you know if somebody comes towards you and you know something about them, like, what are they up to? And she approaches them, and so they become focused on what she's doing from where they were at. And so it continues in verse 17. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto the way of salvation." And this did she many days. Well, that's kind of nice, isn't it? I mean, here's Paul in town preaching God's word, and this lady comes out and starts, "Hey, this guy is a great guy. He's preaching God's word. He's preaching salvation. This man is here to save us. He's got a good word." Well, that's kind of nice advertisement, isn't it? But notice what goes on and what Paul says. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. Why? He ignored her the first couple of days. Didn't pay her any mind. Knew who she was. But yet, it got to him to the point where enough is enough. Because she was a distraction. She was distracting them and distracting the people. Even though you can make a case, well, wait a minute, no, she wasn't distracting. She was actually being a help. She was announcing them, telling people about them. How is that bad? But yet, according to Paul here, that's not good. It grieved him that she was doing that. So obviously, there must be times when, even when someone thinks they're doing good, they're actually being a distraction, which is not good. How do you recognize that you're being a distraction if you think you're doing good? Because you think you're doing good. I'm not a distraction. That's something that we have to struggle with. That's something that we have to learn, how Satan uses things to distract. Even if it seems good, it can still be a distraction. Is it pulling people away from what the message is, from what's trying to be delivered? Is it interfering with what's going on? You know, people become distracted even while they're at church. You know, the very time that we are supposed to be getting fed by God's Word, we allow ourselves to be distracted. I found a few stories from ministers who shared things that happened during their service. One preacher said he was preaching away, and next thing he knew, a tennis shoe came flying by his head and landed on the podium next to him. It was from a child about three pews back, had kicked his feet up, and his shoe went flying. Now, the child said, you know, well, that was an accident. I didn't mean to do that. But it was a distraction. I mean, it came flying through the air. Another pastor was 10 minutes into his sermon when two police officers came into the service, pointed to a deacon to come out of the pew, handcuffed him, and took him away. The pastor thought it was an amazing thing. Or the person who was witness to say it was an amazing thing. The pastor kept preaching. But I was even more amazed that his wife sat there for the entire service. And another one, the custodian had decided to impress everyone by putting pledge on all the wooden pews. While the preacher was preaching, there were repeated sounds of crashing and thuds as people were unable to hold their posterior on the wooden pledge pews. So as you can imagine, the custodian, this is a good thing. I want to impress people. I want to make this shine for God's people. Became a distraction. I mean, how do you pay any attention to what's going on or what message is coming when everybody's slipping and falling in the floor? And you know people were sitting there going like, whoa, and there they go. So we become distracted very easily. A 7-year-old preacher's kid was a bit of a troublemaker, but he was in rare form on this particular Sunday. Right in the middle of the sermon, he stood up, bent over, and yelled, "There she blows!" It was one of the loudest moments of flatulence I had ever heard. The service ended at that moment with the preacher exiting with his precocious son. I was not the only one who smelled the chemical odor while I preached. Indeed, I started getting worried as I got more and more lightheaded. I would learn after the service that a woman was taking her nail polish off with nail polish remover while I preached. I don't understand. I read things like this and I'm thinking, why are you even at church? That you're sitting there and you're taking nail polish off during the message. It's because Satan distracts us. Now, do you think that woman for 1 minute thought that Satan was distracting her? Well, obviously, we know it. We hear the storm, we go like, well, of course he was. But she didn't recognize it. We don't do things on purpose, but we're led into doing things because we don't think about it. And what's even worse is that not only are we distracted, but then we become the distraction. You see, Satan will use you to distract other people. And other people will then become distracted because they allow themselves to be distracted by the other people. There was a lady who I used to attend church with. You knew when she didn't like something the minister had said. Because the moment the minister said whatever it was he said that she did not agree with, she would slam her Bible, slam it on the table, oh, and just sigh heavily. And then she would sit there for the rest of the service. Oh. Oh. And if she was sitting behind you, I mean, it's hard not to be distracted. Now, do you think she thought she was being a distraction? No. But she was. She was allowing Satan to use her to distract everyone else from the message. Because you can't help it when you're sitting there and it's quiet and you're hearing a message and you hear bam, bam, oh! It distracts you. And then when you know that that's what she does, you're sitting there going, I wonder how long this is going to last. Oh, she's not happy again. And you're thinking about that and not thinking about the message that's being presented. What's more important? If Satan can turn you from listening to the message that is being delivered, the very message you may need in your life, he has distracted you. And he's beginning to lead you from where you need to be. One family, again in the church, constantly coming in late. And it wasn't just one or two. It was a large family. And a large family can come in quietly, but they didn't try. You knew when they came in the room because they would come in. And you're saying, you know, we have small congregations. So when they come in, they came in. Chairs were moved around. The kids would run and get snacks and bring them back. There was chatter back and forth until everybody got settled down. You're 30 minutes into the service, and you don't have a clue what the minister or the message was about because all you heard was this family settling down. Do you think that they thought they were a distraction? Do you think they thought there was anything wrong with what they were doing? Because they were continuously doing it. They had no idea that Satan was using them as a distraction. It can be even small things. We don't think, well, that's harmless. But when parents bring small children into services and they bring toys that require batteries and they flip them on and you hear ding, 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 it's a distraction. Kids can color. Kids can draw. There are quiet toys. Why would you bring an electronic toy that's whole purpose is to make noise? And for some parents, they believe it's a conspiracy to cause them frustration, which is why in-laws like to give noisy toys to small children. But do you think those parents think that they're doing anything wrong? Do they think that they're distracting from the service? That they're damaging anything? No. People opening and rattling snacks during service. Our society is getting so you can't even sit in service without having a snack. I heard a minister one time say, he was a little upset, and he said, "I am not your entertainment. You don't need to be bringing your drinks and your popcorn and stuff in and eating while I'm up here speaking. I'm not a movie." At the time, I thought, well, that was a little harsh, wasn't it? But I understand now. Because small things like that, and you're opening peanuts and potato chips, and you're rattling bags, you know, up here I might not hear you. Three rows up, they may not hear you. But the people sitting next to you or in front of you are hearing it. And it's a distraction. But we don't think anything about it. Well, they're just being mean. But you're distracting from the service. They're trying to get something out of God's Word, and you're distracting them from it. And now, the glories of technology. People text and post on Facebook while sitting in services. Now, that's not a distraction, because I can drive and text and post on Facebook, and it ain't a distraction. So it ain't a distraction in church. It is. You're splitting your focus between technology and keeping in touch with your friends and posting stuff on Facebook that should be going to what God's Word is saying. All these things Satan can use to distract us from what's really important, and that is God's Word. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 24. "And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." Sadly, some people need to be warned about distractions, have become distracted, and are not here to be warned. They're not hearing the warning, because guess what? I'm not distracted. But you all are. Oh, you the problem. I got this licked. Satan don't get to me. That tends to be how we look at things. We look at people, you give a sermon and people go, "Yeah, boy, David needed that." And they don't even realize that they were the ones that needed it. They don't realize that they have become the distraction, because they don't feel like they're distracted. And it's not that they're doing it on purpose. It's not that they're evil people. It's their focus is wrong. The lady who was walking through the mall texting and walked into the fountain, she's not an idiot. She was distracted. She did something stupid. We all get a laugh out of it. She was probably embarrassed. But that doesn't mean she's an idiot. It means she allowed something else to get in the way of what was important. And that's how we are a lot of times in church. We allow Satan to distract us. The only way to avoid that is to focus on God's Word. To understand that we're here for God's Word. That's what's important. Nothing else matters. It's God's Word. And we are not to allow Satan to distract us. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So, here's Martha doing all the work. She goes to Christ to whine. I'm doing it all. Mary's not doing anything. That's not fair. And what does Christ tell her? Martha, you're focused on the wrong thing. Who asked you to serve? Who asked you to do what you're doing? Mary sat down and listened to the words I brought because she understands that is what's important. You're doing what you believe is expected of you. Though it's nice, it's not what's important. Mary understands that. She's listening to the words I speak. So we understand it's important to be here on the Sabbath. But it doesn't do us any good if we don't listen to God's Word. We don't hear what's being said. We can say, oh, I keep the Sabbath. But if we don't come to church, then you're distracted. And you're saying, God, I understand the Sabbath is yours, and it's made it for us, and it's an important day, but I don't care. How many of you say the Sabbath doesn't matter, and you'll tell God right now, you don't care? No, we won't. But when you choose other things over God's Sabbath, when you choose other things rather than being at church, then you have just said, God, you're not important. And you can say all you want to say, oh yes, but this is a wonderful thing. This is a great thing. I'm being helpful. I'm showing love to someone. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. It's all a distraction to keep you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that's being here, listening to God's Word and hearing it and using it in your life and not being distracted. You're allowing the world to distract you. Now, of course, the people that need to hear that aren't here because they're distracted. They're out doing other things. But you're here. You can hear the warning and understand, don't allow Satan to distract you. No matter how you want to justify it, you are supposed to be in Sabbath services listening to the message. Not coming to Sabbath services and texting and Facebooking and drawing and sleeping and whatever else people do. You're here to listen to the message. Yes, I know sometimes I am long-winded and I put people to sleep. And I accept it. But I also truly believe that no matter who the person is speaking, we can hear what it is we need to hear. Because God will deliver it. I don't want to offend anybody, but there's been numerous times when I've given sermons and I've had people come up to me and go, oh, that was a great sermon. You know, you talking about blah, 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 blah was great. And I go, well, thank you. And I turn around to Kathy and go, what sermon were they listening to? How did they even get that out of my sermon? But I realize people can hear, God can use words to go into people's minds and have them hear what it is they need to hear. Whether I meant it that way or whether I said it that way, it gets through to them because God is in control of communication. If you're not distracted and you're listening. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. God is not saying marriage is bad here. But what's being said is that we tend to do things for our spouses first. Well, you know, I would love to come to church, and I'd like to be at church, but, you know, my husband, he don't like it. You know, so I don't want to have a problem at home or anything, so I don't come. Well, you know, I'd have been at church, but my sister called, and she needed me to go shopping with her to help her with the kids. And so I was helping her with the kids while she shopped. Well, isn't that just wonderful? Isn't that just so helpful and loving? Isn't that what Christians are supposed to do? It's an excuse. You're being distracted and justifying why you're being distracted when you're supposed to be at church listening to God's Word. Time is growing short. There is coming a day when you will not be able to sit here and listen to God's Word. Some of you may have known or may have heard, recently I got a real wake-up call. Where we normally meet at was closed for July the 4th. And so we rented a hotel. My sister decided to get baptized. I was thrilled. She wanted me to baptize her. I mean, she trusted me to actually bring her back up. So we talked to the hotel, which we've done this before, and said, we would like to use the pool for about 5-10 minutes. The first person that the host talked to said, oh yeah, no problem. So he always likes to call back and confirm things, make sure that the reservation is still good and we not got bumped out or anything. So he called back and everything was good. And he said, oh yeah, now we want to use the pool. Wait, you'll have to hold on a minute. They go off. Somebody else comes on. Is there a problem? We'll have to get back to you about the pool. So he waited. And one of the things about him, which is good and bad, he likes everything planned out. So it was bugging him that he hadn't heard from him. So he called him back the next day. He's like, what's this, you know, is it okay? Is everything good to go? Well, we'll have to get back to you. So he calls me now because he's worried. I'm like, yeah, this don't sound good. How hard a decision is this? So he calls back again. You know, is it okay we use the pool? Wait just a minute. And handed the phone off to somebody else who came on, who I'm assuming was the manager. Said, oh, I'm sorry. We can't allow you to do that. We have a lot of guests, and we're afraid that it might offend them. I'm usually pretty calm. I went off. I was upset. Some may not think it is, but for me it is. I typed an email to the corporate office because it hit me the more I thought about it. How dare you tell me that something I believe in, something that is symbolic of God, something that I'm commanded to do, that someone could find that offensive? I'm offended that you would say that. And I said, what about my feelings? You're worried about your guests. We are renting this room. I am one of your guests. What about my feelings? So as we were driving to church, we had to pass by the city ball fields, and they were packed. So I knew what was going on. They were having softball tournaments. And so that's why the hotel was full. And so we drive, and we get to the hotel. We walk in. The hotel's empty. Because where were the people? At the softball fields. That's why they were there. We walk in. There's nobody in the pool. We have our services. We get through, which this would be the time that we would go and baptize someone. A couple people looked over and go, I don't understand. There's nobody in the pool. And I'm like, of course they're not. They're all down there playing ball, which is why they're here. There's nobody in the pool. There's nobody here in the hotel but us. So after my email went, I got a response from customer service. Very nice. "We're so sorry you didn't have a good time. We're so sorry things didn't work out. I'm going to have the manager of the hotel contact you and copy me within 48 hours to try to get this resolved." I waited 48 hours. I waited 72 hours. Nothing. I sent an email back to the person who had responded to me. I said, "Well, I guess your manager doesn't care about me as much as you do. And apparently they don't think too much of you because they didn't copy you on the email either." So I get another email from someone else who says, "We have personally talked to the manager. And the issue was the hotel was full and the pool was in constant use." I said, "Well, your manager is a liar. Because the pool was not in use. The people were there for a ball game and they were gone. If they had just said, we don't allow that, I could even handle that more. But when you tell me that you're worried that some of your guests may be offended, that was it. I've had it. I'm done. I don't care about political correctness. I don't care about your feelings. I don't care if I hurt them. It's not what I'm intending to do. But God's truth is God's truth. And I'm done tippy-toeing around people. Because I've had it. They can offend my feelings, but not offend theirs. How ludicrous. And so I've said, you all are in a little bit different position because you have this building. I give sermons where I talk about homosexuality and the abomination that it is. I give sermons where I talk about abortion and how it is murder. I'm not going to be liked out in the world. Somebody is going to hear me preaching on one of those topics one of these days, walking by our meeting room, and they're going to go to the front office, and they're going to say, "You got a bunch of racist bigots in there." And they're going to come to the host and say, "You know, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to allow you all to meet here anymore. And we will be banned from meeting at a hotel." It's their hotel, they can do what they want to. But because we are going to speak out against things that the world has accepted, we are not going to be accepted. That time is here now. Time is short to hear God's word. If you can't meet somewhere, where are you going to hear God's word? Yes, you can read it, and I'm not taking away from any of that. But you're not going to be getting the sermons fed to you. You're not going to be hearing God's word, which we're here to hear and grow and become strong in faith from hearing God's word. We're running out of time. And yet, we treat church like a distraction. We have come to treat church the way the Sunday keepers keep Sunday. Maybe we show up, maybe we don't. When we're here, you better not go past 12 o'clock. And I'm out of here and I am out to enjoy the world. The Sabbath ends when the sermon's over. I've been looking, I can't find that in the Bible. But that's how we're treating it now, because Satan has distracted us that these other things out in the world are more important. Matthew chapter 14, verse 26. Matthew chapter 14, verse 26. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus." That blows my mind every time I read that. He was actually walking on water. This wasn't a trick. This wasn't a little land bridge he was standing on. He was walking on water. He said, "Bid me and I'll come to you." And Christ said, "You got it. Come on out." And he went. He was walking on water towards Christ. And then what happened? "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He was walking on water. And what happened? He was distracted. There was Christ calling to him, come on. Come on out here. And the wind started blowing. And he's like, yeah. Oh, no. And down he went. Because he was distracted. That is how fatal distractions are. You see, people can justify things in their mind and they can cast off and they hear a sermon like this. And oh, yeah, well, you know, you're being a little harsh. I'm telling you, distractions are that dangerous. Distractions are a matter of life and death. If you allow yourselves to be distracted, you will wander off the path to God's truth. Just like texting is dangerous, and one minute you're texting, and the next minute you are dead. When you are distracted, your life is in danger. We should become focused on God every day, but we allow the world to distract us with our troubles and our worries. Today is God's Sabbath that He has given to us, that He has set aside to allow us to not be distracted, but to stay focused on Him for one day out of the week. For this one day, we should be focused on God's Word, focused on the messages coming from the pulpits, the DVDs, and from God's book. We cannot allow the world to creep into our time with God. This is our day given to us, and Satan can't have it. Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119, beginning in verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. One day out of six, God asks us not to be distracted. He asks us to focus. To focus on His word. To focus on His truth. Brethren, do not become distracted, especially on the Sabbath. Stay focused on God and His Word. We know there is delight there, and God loves when His people are delighted. And as the saying goes, stay focused, and you won't crash and burn.